NPL, and the way you've learned that it's NPL. is contained in Chapter 10 is the constitutional values and principles, and this is we're busy with projects, a multi-year project in respect of these values and principles, so these are the principles and values which ought to underlie the public administration and public service. And so I'm not going to go through all of these values and principles, but by looking at them, we can see just how critical these values are in order to ensure that the public service is there to render its service indeed, and to regulate the manner in which public service renders that service to our people. And so things like, for example, accountability and transparency and professional ethics, which we know is a very pertinent issue at the moment, but those are the values that we are doing a lot of work on at the national level at the moment, but also at each province. So of course we know that there's a commissioner for each of the provinces and a couple of commissioners appointed at the national level. We are in the body chapter 10 institution of the Constitution, however, we are still supported by a public service department headed by the Director General. Then in terms of our mandates, sections 195 and 196 in terms of chapter 10 of the Constitution set out our broad powers and functions. In addition, the Public Service Commission Act, which provides for how the EC is regulated in terms of how commissioners are appointed, the conditions of appointment, and then finally, which includes inspections, inquiries, and so on. Also, the Public Service Act is a piece of legislation that we work with. In terms of the Act, we make issue directions, which ensures compliance with the Digital Public Act, and it creates the right for employees who are aggrieved to lodge the grievances with the PC after the departmental process dealing with grievances as they start out. There's something different in respect of HODs to lodging their grievances with the PC. And then, very importantly, the Public Finance Management Act, which is really strategic and regulation, deals with reporting on finalized cases of financial misconduct to the PC. This, I think, is the next slide. I think it's quite important, the areas of oversight. Just so that we have an idea, I was just having a conversation with one of the honourable members relating to some matters and indicating some of the areas where we can work. Because I think it's critical for legislators for us to be aware of some of these areas of work. So, in terms of our mandate, we've got a very broad mandate. In summary, we deal with the organization of the public service and the structural arrangements of the department. Secondly, administration, so all policies and procedures, mechanisms of accountability that ensure that the public service is functioning. Personnel procedures and practices, so important and critical area, the recruitment, transfer, promotions, and dismissal, very important area of holding account. Public administration, so all the functions that are executed by the public service, provide service, very broad area, but of course this deals with the whole question of how services are delivered to the people. And then again, the applicable procedures in the public service, compliance with the letter and spirit of the law, with policies and procedures, and then, as I mentioned earlier, the extent which public service complies with values and principles which are set out in the section 195, those underlying values which ought to permeate all the work which is done by the public service. I'm going to move over from the speech after body takes go. Maybe we'll keep you off questions around that in the question time. But just in terms of our, I think it's important that we have an understanding of what our keen outputs are. We do manage, and so this happens at each provincial level and at national level, we manage the national anti-corruption hotline. It's not one of our mandated areas, however, by the way, cabinet decision in agreement with the PC, we manage this anti-corruption hotline. We also manage grievances, and we conduct deal with complaints and investigations into public service delivery. Then we have the new financial risk conduct, and we manage the financial disclosure framework. We also deal with research. Our flagship project at the moment is that around constitutional values and principles, and so all provincial partners are aware of this, and we've been dealing with awareness programs and also doing an assessment on an ongoing basis to extent that departments are in compliance with this. Question of professional ethics is very, very critical at this stage in the life of our candidates. We deal with practicable capacity. We deal with consequences of the organisation of the state. You know, we've seen, well, from the organisation even process post-election. And then, of course, preparation for induction of the executive parties, which we undertook, and we made a handbook available to all NCLs, which I trust everybody has received and will find useful in performing that oversight role in respect of the executive. And then, of course, the work performance of selected departments. We report nationally, and importantly, for this province, we report provincially, and the state as well. Just importantly, also to note that there are ad hoc activities that we undertake, and so when we identify claims, we may then decide that we hold individuals, obviously it's impossible given the global mandate to deal with everything. So when we pick up certain claims, certainly maybe in respect of the way services are delivered in a particular department, we may look at that and investigate it. So currently, for example, the claim that seems to have developed or emerged certainly since I took office is the issue relating to infrastructure in the education sector, and that is currently, and the manner in which maintenance is resulted in that sphere, and so that is currently an investigation that the office is dealing with, education infrastructure and maintenance thereof, and how that is managed. And so you can see that that's a transversal issue that deals with probably two departments, at least the education department as well as the Department of Transport and Transport. So that is, for example, one of the ad hoc activities which execute on the basis of claims which we find. Then, of course, there's the expenditure estimates. I'm not going to go into all of that in there. And you are going to ask questions relating to that. All that I will mention is clearly we are primarily a knowledge-based institution, and so most of our spend is in respect of the cost of the employer, and then we either have to justify given that we are a knowledge-based institution. Yes, we'll see there's a very small percentage, a very small amount, which is left in goods and services. We've all been feeling government costs, and the fees did not exclude the financial crunch, and so the measures on this offset is picked up as well. And so the budget operational cost is high because of our footprint. Our footprint is national, but we have a national office, and we also have 9 provincial offices, as well as a parliamentary office, which interacts with the provincial parliament. There's an amount posted there, 274 in establishment, but all of this is possible. And then this the next slide just speaks to the problems in respect of grievance management, and how that the problem is being all finalized within 30 days, and also 5 days to implement. I'm pleased to report that in the Western Cape, we are well within that problem. In fact, we exceed by far. Then we carry on to deal with program 3, which is monitoring and evaluation. This is where our flagship project of evaluation principles is lying. And so in the Western Cape province, we will present one overall report, and we've been dealing in the last year with those 7 individual departments: health, education, local government, fairness, trade, municipal, and transport and public works. And it's targeted for the third quarter. That is at an advanced stage in finalization of this report. You know, departments have been asking about this because it means everything is getting more extensive, but that's even at an advanced stage. Then, program 4 deals with integrity and anti-corruption. So this is the program that deals with the public administration investigations and fostering a high standard of professional deal with an anti-corruption case, National Anti-Corruption Hotline case here. We must mention, certainly from a provincial perspective, we have had challenges and we are engaging with the relevant departments in respect of long outstanding cases referred by the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. So there are, not a lot, but there are in some departments significant long cases which are long outstanding. Long outstanding in the sense of some 1 year, some 2 years, and it has to do with something we need to get back to the department, which we need to be referred by the National Anti-Corruption Hotline back for the individual department to do the necessary investigation, to report back to us, and we then have a look at the report back and see whether we're satisfied with the investigation and the outcomes of those. We also report on that, as I mentioned earlier, on the financial disclosure framework. Now, in terms of that framework, we know that all members of the senior management service, that's from level 30 up, are required to disclose prosecutors of all their registrable interests. And the cut-off date is the 1st of May of each year. Then, in terms of framework, please to report that in respect of every department except the Department of Economic Development and Tourism, we have had 100% support rate as at the 1st of May. There's one case, one senior manager in the Department of Economic Development and Tourism, which accounts for that 96%. Who hasn't listened to disclose, or the reason she hasn't disclosed, is because she was ill, 4.6% to see, and in fact suffered significant major medical conditions which are often extended in the time, and that accounts for the 96% in economic development. Otherwise, all other departments can post 100% rate of disclosure. Financial misconduct. In terms of Fund Finance Management Act, which regulates the treasury regulations, Department of Consultants report on finalized financial misconduct cases to the Public Service Commission. And then we have a breakdown of the Western Cape departments and the 51 cases which have been reported in the 2018-2019 financial year. So we'll see then that the Department of Education, you know, that the most, which is 32, and then Health is followed by 5. Of course, those are two of the biggest departments of Education and Health, which may account for the proportionally the bigger share of cases of financial misconduct. We providing relationship with the legislature, to be in the same business in the sense of oversight, holding the sector accountable, ensuring that services are delivered to our people. That's the end of the presentation. Please.
Thank you very much. Very interesting presentation, and thank you for taking the time to come and present. Is there anything else you think that you'd like to add, or that covered it? Thank you. I'd like to welcome another member of the committee, Member Khalid, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Let me just set the member of the next stage.
Thank you, Honourable McKenzie. Yeah. My name is Khalid Said. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we are opening up to the first round of questions. I'll offer to the members first. Member Dalton, I saw your hand.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much to Commissioner for the report. I'm very happy that as an effective, efficient and vigilant opposition, and even though we had an apology for our chief whip, that the deputy chief whip has joined the meeting, I think this is an indication of how seriously we take this particular commission. Thank you very much, Member Slade. The first question I would like to ask is, in terms of the staff for the Resident Tech office, is it just the three of you, or is there anyone else? Just if you could give us a sense of your own staff establishment. And then, on page 7, you refer to, personnel procedures and practices. Now, I would just like to sort of create or ask you a theoretical question of a certain situation. Just ask if you have a view on this matter. I received a complaint from a member of one of the provincial departments, and essentially it's about the fact that he had allegedly been charged by the department. He then actually resigned. And what happened was that his personal number was blocked by this particular department that he worked for almost 18 years. And since then, he's been trying to get employment in other provinces or other departments, but because his personal number has been blocked, he literally hasn't been able to do that, and he's now being appointed to a board linked to the National Department, working there for about 5 months, and has not been able to receive any payment because of this personal block. So, can I just ask, is that the kind of matter that the provincial We then indicate that they were all the employees charged. Now, without providing the names of these individuals, for instance, if you say the education department, there was 938,000 rand involved, and then you have a company that says no loss to state, but then you, okay, so of that, okay, so that was the loss to the state, the one that you then aren't recovered was 150,000, but that amount is not recovered. So the issue is, do you then, is it your mandate to institute civil claims against these particular officials? But this is what we would like to say, under each of these departments, if we could have a detailed breakdown of the case, like, you know, what was the actual charge, what was the outcome, is that official still in the employ of the recent administration, and is there any process to recover the amounts that have not been recovered? And finally, we appreciate the presentation of the research that you end up to the day of the chair. Obviously, you're saying that the issue prioritized by the day of the chair itself, that's in the block of research, but presumably, like the application scenario of this person is resolved at the block. Are you open to members submitting individual requests for particular matters that arise in the public service in the Western Cape? And if so, I know you've given us a hotline, but would you mind giving us an email address that you could send such complaints to that?
Remember, there was quite a few questions.
Sure.
Cameron allowed the PSC to respond to that member, that they will come back for an exam. And before the PSC respond, I want to make the government second last question on the individual cases, because I also got a few questions on those. If you don't mind excluding that question, answer all the questions, because then we can just ask all, because that's going to be, I presume, quite a lot of questions will be around that, as to where this question, why the, you know, so remember that quite comfortable that is that way. But I have a few questions on a particular matter as well, and those many other members will as well. So if you just like, answer all the questions excluding that one, and because that will be a presentation on it, all members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll answer looking forward to this policy staff conclusion.
So on that one, we have just one commissioner, one commissioner, like 15 deputies, three AS assistant directors, two admin staff, and one team. So it's a total of, what's that, 10? 10 staffers to support the commission.
Okay, so then in respect of the person who resigned, so in respect of the block, I assume he's in charge and he's not being disciplined, so the discipline system hasn't done its course, that's why he's resigned. We don't deal with cases of discipline which have gone through a process, so I assume there's no sanction involved here, even if he had the opportunity to resign. So that would be a case that we would be able to investigate. It's not a disciplinary process. We're not interfering in the process, we just run through. And arbitration then in respect of the the financial misconduct, we do not institute civil claims against the inspectability where we haven't recovered. What we need to be in mind in respect to that report is that we do follow up. So from 1 year to the next, because things aren't recovered, might not happen in that particular financial year, in respect of which the loss has been incurred. So we catch it in the following year. But we do not follow up in our mandate to institute civil claims. In respect of the
was two, it would be a question of saying, level one, the official level five charge of X out government. So it's more, obviously, this is a summary, but is it possible to
have
a
summary?
So I'm just saying through the chair that I think maybe links to your ruling, because it applies to all of these officials. Okay, so what I'm requesting is if you can apply to the Council of Public Works, you say official number one, they will apply a charge of X outcome, what happened to them, because I think very often ourselves and members of the public, I think there's a serious financial misconduct, and literally the person, you know, stays in the public service. We just want to get a sense as to what is the precedent. So if something, someone commits a financial misconduct, you know, what are the consequences actually for those officials? I think that's what we're trying to get a sense of.
Because what one can see on slide number 23, we do indicate the levels of employees, but it's more specific. What you know, for example, more specific. Transport and Public Works, the person is Ricardo, he stole 2,030 cash.
Yeah.
And the department has now implemented a policy to say that 30 cash cannot be held by cameras anymore because they don't. You know, we need to know what happened, what was the crime, what was the outcome of the punishment, and then also what advice did you give the department, or what was the steps put in place to avoid the next person coming in next year and committing the same financial conduct.
Yes, we can make that information available.
If you give that advice, you will make a recommendation.
Chair, in respect of the lifetime audit of provincial cabinet, and yes, it doesn't fall within our mandate, that is something we need to consider. What we need to bear in mind is that myself as a provincial commissioner, well, we are one commissioner. So we, all of us, have responsibility for nationally and provincially, but in respect of provinces, in respect of our mandate, I've been delegated in respect of our particular mandate. So,
of course, I think that the government, if you have the capacity, you ask to do so.
We have to explore what is the why we can do that. We probably have to get other capacity in. And we personally need to consider whether it's something which we're able to do. There are the incidents for it, the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Recently there was an incident in the National Parliament where someone committed suicide. An investigation was done and we were requested to do that investigation. There was an investigation at the Department of Public Work. In that information, that particularly because it was a big exercise, and particularly despite the fall in our mandate, it's quite a big exercise, yes, and we request the Department of Public Works to assist in respect of making funds available to get that extra capacity. So the first question thing is, we would consider it, and it's not something I would consider in terms of my delegated power, but the Commission would consider it. In terms of considering the request and what is required in terms of that, it might be that we need to say to provincial government, we need some assistance to get extra capacity in order to conduct.
Just to add to something, the distinction between political officers and public services is now, so that would also be a clarity on where exactly the jurisdiction might be. If you want to move
forward. So, any questions?
Yes.
But just on that point, because if one thinks of another institution, the public protector, that office pretty much seems to investigate MECs, ministers, and so on. So maybe in the broader scheme of things, that would be it. And I'm just speculating, I'm just trying to find where this task would reside. But not that you need to respond immediately, but I think given the clarification of Mr. Rockman and your presentation, maybe the public protector would be a better placed institution on the issue of the lifestyle audit for MECs and ministers.
There's some questions outstanding, and then you're going to come to Mr. Morris, or is it a follow-up question on the
panel? No, I didn't know that with the Douglas version, so
he's still in progress.
So, the last thing I had on my list on him is the issue of complaints. Yes, individual
then we're going to have a member of the Indian Muslim and a member of Malay. Yes,
thank you. Please put me my email to move on to my question. On page 7, you mentioned number 7. You mentioned regarding 5, the evidence-based research that we undertake. Where would I find information like for the headline and what type of evidence-based research that we undertook in order to help that could be used by the researchers or the visitors? But it is not the same way that to see what could be of interest now to be at the center with regard to the evidence-based research. So it is a list of that. It's available for food to say. But also, do you have any collaboration or you work with other entities and like the public domain to see how, most of the public domain you read certain stuff? And then I hardly read stuff about what you guys and being here and some people now, is that how do you promote this opportunity in a way that public servants will actually know things in the reported to the shopping? These are the ones who feel that they are unpaid or that not necessarily going to commit fraud or to do something that's illegal. What avenues exist for that public servant in order to do the shopping? That's the one. And then, yes, whether a system has been offered to any other entities that you need to assign with that system that you need to take the system, and then how do you promote the report of your work, and if you offer to change the key, just focus on what innovations have been taken by the Commission in order to curb any form of scheme and that. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Bali.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Just shake this in. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I understand it correctly, Act 46 of 1997, and which you function says, conflict of the Commission. Subject to the provisions of the Constitution, the Commission may exercise the powers and shall perform the duties entrusted to the Commission by or under this Act, Constitution or the Public Service Act, and it may inspect departments. The Commission may inspect departments and other organizational components in the public service, and has access to such official documents, or may obtain such information from heads of those departments or organizational components. Now, my question to the Commission is, you such an important body in this country as an oversight authority. Were there any inspections conducted at police stations in the Western Cape? And if not, why not? Is the Commission aware of any language barriers that exist between the police officers and the communities they serve in the Western Cape? In light of the recent newspaper article in which current South African Revenue Services employees complained about their lack of promotion at SARS, were the Public Service Commission aware of any complaints regarding this matter? If yes, were they investigated? And what were your findings? If not, why not? We had a situation where I just saw a recent strain and I had this big headline Labour Department mistreated colours. And the appointments there, the colour people say their applications are shut one side. And Mr. Chris Hughes got involved, Human Rights Commission, and he confirmed this. I'd like to know if the Commission is prepared to get involved in this, because the Commission, in terms of the judgment in the correctional services case, where a team correctional services wardens were won the case, reinstated in their positions, because the provincial demographics were not applied. Only national demographics. And the court threw it out. The court said we must take into account provincial demographics. And then we come to this issue where it says brainless does need for you. Is the commission aware of this? The current people are now becoming violent and they decided that they are going to take law into their own hands. Then there is a war court of occurrence. There is a great uneasiness and restlessness among some people in the Western Cape. Because state departments are not fair in promotions and in jobs for them. And the language of the Congress is not respected as government departments, where they are forced to speak English, where 90% of Dutch people speak Afrikaans. And Afrikaans as a language has a right to be spoken and to be heard in this province, in our own constitution. I want to know, is the Commission aware of these complaints and uneasiness? And will the Commission be prepared to investigate it? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Blunt.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am not sure whether this my question falls within the scope of this. It has become quite topic of discussion among especially from the community. What they call the previously disadvantaged pensions or payouts. I'm also program on that where some of that is saying that in the family people that were previously disadvantaged, which didn't receive pensions at the time and so forth. So they were apparently assigned previously people who apply, and now there's a whole issue about what about those who died. I'm sure you know the story. Is that issue currently with you, that is regarded with you? If you can perhaps provide clarity on that, thank you.
Thank you.
The first question deals a lot of the question in terms of your own establishment. And then just a breakdown of the government putting in terms of, so that we see that the entire establishment outputs, and if your commission is in compliance with the government, you can be able to see that. Before you go and monitor others, are you in compliance? You see. And then, moving forward, I see on slide number 14, it talks to previous management, and there is a very good record of 80% of cases that are presented. But now, there is a difference, a distinction between the handling and the total. Because if you are just monitoring the we know how much is happening in the public service. Or cases that are working with us, tick, in terms of also that. Indeed, they were very good. If your money, part of the money, is to see to it that grievances that are handled, with that grievance procedure, what's wrong, and how many cases might be in favor of others. But that, why would that in the public service being put into it? If to speak in terms of personnel, it's because of being agreed against the processes that are done with them. So how many cases are favorable to the suffer? And then lastly, in terms of slide number 23, it rates of how corruption or financial misconduct cases are reported. That's the rationale behind alert level 1, level 4. What would make it a zero? Because it's not understandable that it is within this classification. So that we need to understand what makes a tennis alert level be come from like.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
you, Chair and members. Just the first question from Honourable Allen in respect to evidence-based research. I understand the question because I'll be the first to say that when we speak about promotion of what we do, that they deserve a back to there. We are trying to address that as a commission at the moment in terms of how we promote our work. I must say that we are in a measure, not only provincially but nationally too, hamstrung by challenges in respect of our budget allocation and reducing budget allocation in terms of doing the work and also in terms of promoting the work that we do. Honourable Marie mentioned one of that specific avenues, for example, inspections in public service components. It's very difficult to do that because it involves traveling, it involves finances in order to do inspection. That is one manner in which people become more aware of us, become more aware of our mandate, become more familiar with the complaint procedure, when we are there at the culprit, in the community, at the primary healthcare facility, for example, where the services are being taken place. But through our government, and I hope our institution too, they huge challenges they have. We are attempting to address the way we do the promotion of our work. Evidence-based research and reports are available on our website, which we'll make available. Again, I'll be the first to say that it's not necessarily everything, but I'm quite willing to tap into that resource and make the list available with our national office. It's all those reports, make the list available and leave it available for members so that you can access our reports. And also, please, these members can contact your office or the provincial office to ask them. We quite happy to provide any information in the interest of the work of the commission. There was a question then about how do we curb what we have done to curb the interaction of the major task that we are at undertaking is to manage the national aid collection outside. Yes, it adds limitations. And also to, in a sense, be a new complaint. And complaints might come from public service, might come from the public, etc. But it's an important challenge because national aid collection hotline is about the economic basis. Complaints we deal with, we ask the partners to the collection, the end of the waiting gate. I know it's referred to the provincial provincial services. I personally have to be adamant that I require partners officially to take responsibility for complaints, which allows a number of equity involved, for example, allegations of corruption, ethics, and so on. I've been very adamant that provincial parts fundamentally are responsible and provide provincial provincial services with the resources and the investigation. I require the HOD to take ultimate responsibility as well. And once we get those reports, we do scrutinize it. We sit as a panel of three commissioners from other provinces, and we scrutinize it. We do make recommendations in this sector. So that's a major obstacle in respect of fighting corruption. To the reporting via the national infrastructure on site, via the general complaint mechanism that we have as well. In respect of Commissioner Honourable Marais' question,
thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was about a year and a half back that the Public Service Commission conducted an investigation into police staffing. And in fact, it was a request from a member of the time, from the legislature. And we subsequently obviously submitted that report, and I believe it's part of the ongoing discussion between the provincial government and the police service. So just to say, I think the question was to what extent we get involved with the issues of police services. So there was a report at the legislative level. And then, of course, police stations are inspected, just in terms of the service delivery standards and as part of our general oversight around the experiences of clients and experiences that people have had been visiting our police stations. So there is that kind of work done. Not done extensively. At national level, certainly, there will also be that, those kind of interventions in terms of police services.
We want to follow up. While I wasn't this year, a copy of that report, and I think that is now for the DNR to go out for status updates on that matter, which we can ask for at the standing committee of community safety and share the knowledge on the EC with the meeting. And then we will ask the Kishetan on his agenda for a status update from the, particularly on the report, because I know it's a question mark.
Yes, I just want to know, what were you asked to do? And were you asked to do it by Yamazilla or National Police?
It was done by one of the standing committees in the department.
Yes.
Sorry, Chairman. So the committee asked for an investigation.
Yes.
And that report was a statement of Parliament.
Yes, according to that.
And Parliament took a decision on the consent.
Yes, and there's now we need to find a follow-up because it's now more than a year after. So now we, I think, we now need to follow up on what is the status of that report.
Yeah,
so the report is up, and we'll give you a copy of the report.
Please.
Just also to mention, Chair, and honorable, just an inspection again. We are looking. Challenges to the area that I myself am trying to push, that we do inspections at the price of delivery. And I think the challenge we are facing with nationally is but to the extent that we do it limited, very often these inspections are linked to particular investigations, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, the investigation that I've initiated in respect of school infrastructure. And so that requires visits, and so that is part of investigation that we do site visits. But in the past, there used to be more regular investigation of site visits due to police stations, for example, due to the healthcare facilities and so on. Then in respect, Chair of Commission, the former broad question relating to the question of lack of most opportunities of so-called colored people in SARS was mentioned. Mention was made of the Labour Department, Facebook grant. To be honest, I've not been aware of the SARS case. Just bear in mind again, you know, when I'm at provincial level, how we are delegated. And so while the entire commission is responsible, we are delegating a particular fashion. So I will only become aware as a commissioner of the something relating to SARS as an actual entity at the stage when any investigation is already in progress and is a draft report. In a similar way, a national commission will only become aware of an investigation that I'm doing in respect of education once I've done, because I've been delegating in respect of that. Nationally, someone has been delegating solve, and so the commission as a whole will become aware of that in that fashion. Of course, one picks up things in the media and so on, and so in this fashion, I picked up the issue relating to the Department of Labour in the New York State. While it strictly does not fall within my delegated powers, I thought, of course, in the Western case, and I need to find what is happening and connect with the relevant commission at the national level to find what is happening. I have been in touch with Commissioner Nilsson. From the Human Rights Commission was on the ground quite soon, and he takes me that they've done a preliminary report, but they were dealing with the extensive, more extensive report, and
find that horrible radiation through brain. Yet we need to bear in mind also that a lot of these complaints and protests emanate from dissatisfaction at a local level, at a local government level. And so once again, we are not a mandate to be involved at the local government level. We are only mandated in respect of national and provincial level. So but yet to the extent that these things arise in the national and provincial department, to the extent that we are aware of them, or to the extent that complaints are lodged with us. And we would be making it. And I just briefly think I do not recall, in fact, receiving complaints or grievances in relation to the issue of non-promotion or lack of promotion in respect of kind of complaints. Certainly not with respect. They might be international. So the narrative which might be made, and I'm not discounting the narrative, but I think that in respect of the work that we do, we have not received complaints. I proactively engaged with the Human Rights Commission in relation to the labor matter, called I noticed that in the mainstream media. I'm not by any measure discounting the extent of the challenge or the problem that is being there. On the book another, if I guess correctly, I think we referring here to the whole question of the GPS. I think it's probably more research is in Israel, mainly to the extent I think that largely that mainly affected female public servants, for example, and resigning when they got pregnant and didn't get the same benefits, etc., and the old dispensation. And then it seems there was quite a data, I think, complaint, and this is from media reports, and just general on the ground information, that people are satisfied also that the group that was included cut of day and the lack of communication so that people couldn't submit by the particular cut of day. Again, I am not aware of any complaints to the Commission in this regard. We are looking, as far as I am aware, no national project in England. There might very well be complaints with the national issue. There might very well be complaints relating to this. But I'm not aware of that at all, apart from the sort of anecdotal and which one to pick up on the ground. I'm quite certain that something like this would fall within, not certain about the time, but it might be in our mandate. Bear in mind, of course, that even our very broad mandate is not possible for us to become involved in everything that we need to look at, training, for example, and so forth, and then we rely on complaints. And so, for example, I mentioned the school investigations that we said. We had a number of cases where people calling principals were always told in the media of maintenance of taking place, chunks of bones falling down on them, etc. We couldn't go into every school, it's just not possible. But before we saw a thing, and actually in the one case, we picked up a narrative in this which we assumed that it seems that the planning might be challenging with respect to planning. We initiated an investigation. Before we saw the thing, we saw the potential to make an impact, to make recommendations to provincial government in order to affect everybody rather than voting each individual case. Then there was a question from Honorable Fengel. In terms of the entire establishment, we can make that available. Also, there was a question of employment equity. We would be able to make that available to members.
Our analysis is that the 25% of the grievances that we receive, we find to be substantiated. We're not pursuing that target, we're just saying that that is a matter of fact situation. And I don't know if that signal was some kind of confidence in our analysis and investigation.
Thank you. Member Mare, that report is in your opinion of the man. The report that you talked about earlier will be in your inbox. Member Sir?
There is one question on the slide on 32. 104 is a zero.
The financial declaration slide, or the financial disclosure slide, slide number 20. Obviously, the one person for help is one can understand. It would to compare us to the rest of the other nine provinces, because you just assume, not assume, you do set in four of the other nine, a commissioner, a new intake, your colleague. Would we be 98%? Are we second from the bottom? Are we third from the top? We want to get an understanding. Just so we know where our body services are going to get that. And the financial disclosure as far as I obviously noticed is that they disclose. But have you found any in those disclosures there is somebody or somebody's spouse doing business with you? Because finally disclosed, but it just doesn't to say that you were approved to do business with Department X. Have you found any of those in these disclosures?
and we are very mindful of going out to the rural areas. We farm it as far as we can, budget permitting. We look at those outlying areas and where they are for the initial offices, whether it's in the Worcester or the West Coast, or and as far as Georgia and Logan. But that is our mission, to get out to those areas as well, to promote the community. On the issue of the nut, yes, at the time that it's locked, that is when the count starts. And of course, there's an internal process in terms of consolidating the case, summarizing that case, channeling to the provincial office, and then channeling it. And it's at that point we really evaluate whether it is a matter of our own investigation or whether the province is best placed and has the capacity to investigate. Now, you will know that the province has 20 facilities. So very often, given a case of we would refer it to them via the farm to investigate. Our stance is that we refer to the department and they are responsible for investigating. Yes, we understand that they have an agency agreement with the regulators, but it's about the department to investigate. To that end, the commissioner does have engagement with HRBs, and where we find that there is, you know, a slowness or a lag in terms of feedback, we have communication to them, and on occasion we do the same fact that people have face-to-face engagement, which we have face-to-face engagement with HMEs, just to impress upon them the need to make work of involved investigations.
Yes, just to mention that I was not satisfied with the manner in which complaints and national extraction of my case were being dealt with by provincial government. I was not satisfied with that being referred to the provincial forensic services. As I said, I quite understand that this is the resource of provincial government that they use ultimately. However, my stance was and remains that the HRB is responsible for investigating the matter. Then we decided that we would refer directly to the HRB. And because what we needed, and what I picked up in a short period as an office, was that you again should like the fact that you were responsible for the maximum information for the information. So, and the lack of engagement was the reason why I stayed 6 months, 7 months later. And so I've taken a much more robust approach in respect of HRD to say that you are responsible, you are the accounting officer. And so your relationship with provincial forensic service needs to manage that. So that is part I think that's part of the reason for the slowness in some of that. I also think that, and I made this clear when I met with the provincial cabinet a few weeks ago, that it does appear that sometimes not all but certainly should be obviously delegate some of the functions, inspector of this area of work to other officials. However, I made it clear that the main responsibility of HRD and HRD that I was always responsible. Respect to engagement with HRD, I believe one-on-one and I have engagement early in the reaction. These matters are standing for a number of years, and so I'm calling the HRD team, and I want to answer this. That is the level of engagement, the individual engagement. We don't form part at this stage of it, or it was still popular on me for the provincial cabinet to do, to show that we would have a forum to have a meeting with the executive and with the agencies.
In terms of the financial disclosures, I think that this is only here that's not the 100%. So if you take the past 10 years, it's been 100%. So the problem is that we're scrupulous in making sure that every manager submits and discloses the information. And you know that it's now online, so it makes it even easier. And certainly in terms of our scrutiny, we will check that information against these records, against the e-makers, and even the provincial database of the supply database, and run those ID numbers just to check if those persons are not
we go and, you know, we talk about lifestyle, or almost on the, in the area of lifestyle, we'll certainly pay up. How many houses the senior manager has, how many cars the senior manager has, how many directorships he has, and where we find that persons have three or four companies, we would flag that, where we find that people have, you know, wide range of cars, we certainly bring that to the attention of tenancies, so that they know about it, because it's very often that they have another set of information, and so that sometimes they need to do those 2+2 summaries.
And is this on the last point, comparisons?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, let me just say that, I must say that from a provincial to national, generally the provinces are in a much better position than national in respect of disclosure. I'm not sure whether there's other provinces that sort of running the same account, but I know that you're certainly the I can safely say that the best performing province among provinces. When it comes to national versus province, we are, you know, national is that huge challenges in each province.
Thank you. Member Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the light of the fact that the Commission says they were not aware of the SARS case, which I have said that they were not aware of it, it was front page in the guidelines, and it concerns 93 staffers, all under Western Cape. They complain because they say it's 2016 transformation policy has disabled them from applying for positions or being promoted on the basis of their race. Now, the history that Charles under Moriani has violated the Employment Equity Act by enforcing the policy which they accuse of illegality and of being so unreasonable that a reasonable person could not have adopted and implemented it. And they asked the Labour Court to set that policy aside. The employees' battle against the policy, according to the papers, started already in 2018 with an internal grievance followed by the lodging of an unfair discrimination and unfair labor practice with the Commission. So, my question is, in the light of this, I don't think you expect them to approach you. You can act automatically and intervene without waiting for them to report the matter of Commission.
Yes, I just listened to one of the snippets from everything I've heard, because one of the issues that was raised a few years ago, that there was a grievance. It's highly likely, and a few years ago, there's a matter that might not have been satisfied, and probably in the Commission then. I'm making assumptions here at national level, because that's really the Cluster Commission is dealing with us at national level. However, when I hear further, the matter is currently before courts. They approach the court, and so we've seen the labor dispute. Now that one thing the labor dispute, we can't do that, we are excluded, we don't have a mandate when there's a one-day delay dispute. So I don't know. It might be not be that as the largest agreement, it might be that the Commission's panel has sat and given a ruling as to whether the agreement is substantiated or not, but they're now taking further steps and approach the courts. So we do not have jurisdiction or mandate in respect of matters. Just in terms of our mandate, just excluded in terms of our mandate and the complex agreement protocol.
Call for two answers.
Yes.
Can a court case and an investigation by the Commission run parallel? You're not interfering in the court case. You do your own investigation.
In terms of
we will make some recommendations, and we will send you the list of initiation documents that you do report in. And remember, Maria, I see the email that you sent to you.
Thank you very much, I see you.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, and once again, please be maybe for welcome or not to be that.
You're welcome to see and talk you after in our CA, and those members that after the resolution would welcome to join this office. Members of the CA, this is not like a resolution officer. Members, you received the minutes of the previous meeting. The meeting of the 31st of July.
Don't worry.
There was a briefing from the Department of the Premier on the annual report. If you can go to page number one, just make sure that you are present on the day. And then end of page number one, not page number two, and the dot com. Welcome to when the committee convenes Thank you, Mayor.